Basically, what we've learned until now is that just like when it comes to other Isurim like Gezel, the Rabbanan made, in order to be really clean from the Aveira, you have to be clean from any trace, any hint of the Aveira, not just the actual Aveira itself of stealing something from somebody else, but any of the nuances and the subtleties. So too, in order to be naki from the Aveira of Arayus, you have to be clean of all the subtleties also. And he's going to go into details of how the Rabbanan prohibited many things that all your senses should be protected from getting involved in znus, in immodesty, in promiscuity. So before we go on, and he gives all these examples, I want to speak a little bit about the inyan of tznius, what it means. What is tznius, and how these gzeros protect a person to be modest and not immodest. Okay, in general. Then we'll go to the details. Most people think that tznius is covering up parts of your body that are not nice to show, because there's something wrong with the body. But that's not the case. Because if that would be the case, then we should have to cover up animals' bodies, because they're even worse than human bodies. And to best of my knowledge, there's nobody who is machmer not to go to the zoo unless the animals are dressed. Okay, not yet. Maybe tomorrow there'll be somebody like that. But we're not machmer to have animals that are dressed. Right? Can't go to animals, and they're what's it called, completely uncovered, undressed, and there's no problem. In fact, it's interesting, I don't know what the psychology of it is, but there is one place in the world that I know of where they are makbid to dress their animals. That's Los Angeles. Right? They walk around with dogs and cats with little pants on or whatever, and they sell in stores, right, outfits for your dog and your cat. Right? Now, in Los Angeles, they're not makbid that the people should be dressed. But animals, yes. There is something to that. I don't know exactly what, but there's got to be an explanation. But that has nothing to do with tznius, right? That has to do more with idiocy. They, what's it called, the people consider their pets equals to themselves, right? They even have pet cemeteries there. They had one in Miami, too. And when your pet dies, right, you hire somebody, could be a rabbi if he wants to make money, right, and they make a levaya, and they say a hesped, right? They even write a special poem about the good old Lucky or Rusty or Fido or whatever. Right? I don't know if they say Kaddish or not. But in any case, that is par for the course. Okay, that's a different shmooze. Why people treat animals like people, because they treat people like animals. In any case, but we're not makbid that animals should be covered. So why people? So basically, tznius is the following. Whenever there is an inner kedusha, and you could be distracted by the externals and forget about that inner kedusha, that's called tznius. We cover the externals to make the statement there's more here than meets the eye. And therefore it doesn't only apply to human beings' bodies. It applies to a host of things, which I'll tell you in a second. For instance, two things that Chazal say tznius is extra special was by the Mishkan. When the Mishkan was finished, the Rabban Shalom said, Kan yofa hatznius. Here tznius is extremely proper. And therefore, one of the ways of expressing that was how the Mishkan looked. It was covered with coverings that looked like a kala. It had a veil in the front. The coverings went over the front, and it trained in the back like a wedding dress. So extra tsanua, right? Train in the back, veil in the front. Now the Mishkan was not erotic, that if you looked at the gold and silver of the Mishkan, somehow, right, you're going to be aroused erotically and therefore had to be covered. That can't be the idea of tznius. So what is the idea? The idea is that the main kedusha of the Mishkan was not his externals. It was the Shechina that was in the Mishkan. But you can be distracted by the externals and forget completely about the inner kedusha. Okay? I think I've said the story over here many times, but I heard once, I think it was the name of Shom Shvadron, that one of his children or grandchildren was at the Kosel on a Shabbos. And he saw a Jew, a Yid, what's it called, writing a kvittel on Shabbos, putting it in the wall. So he assumed that perhaps the person thought that the person he was writing the kvittel for was a cholam mesukin, right? And pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, and you can write a kvittel for pikuach nefesh. So he ran over to him and said, "What are you doing? It's Shabbos." So he said, "Look, I'm the captain of an Israeli soccer team. And we have a championship match coming up this week, and I put in a request to the wall that we win." So, if that is what the Kosel HaMarovi is, or the Beis HaMikdash, then it's like a magical wall. It's Avodah Zarah. It's like, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, wall, wall on the ground, right? Give me my wish. So then the whole Mishkan and the whole Mikdash becomes an Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we cover the externals. Why in the Beis HaMikdash itself it wasn't done? It's a different story. But in the Mishkan was more exposed. So if you came directly to the Mishkan, you saw the gold on the krushim or whatever. It was really dazzling. It was really, right, attractive. So you could be distracted from the inner kedusha of what this is all about, the Shechina. So you cover the externals in order to make the statement, what you see here is not the Iker. There's something beneath the surface that you have to give your attention to. And that is the Shechina that occupies this building. It's not the building itself. All right, we're covering the building. Same thing goes with Talmid Chacham, it says. Talmid Chacham has to be extra tzanua in everything he does, and how he eats, how he drinks, and how he dresses. It's one of the reasons why the minig is that Talmid Chacham and wear long coats. Right? Even though people who are not necessarily like that wear short coats. That's why the truth is that everybody used to wear that out tznius. And then Yekis changed the style and wore short coats instead of longer coats, instead of frocks. That's why they're called Yekis. A Yeki is a short jacket. So if you hear somebody call somebody a Yeki, it doesn't mean that he's on time. It means that he's wearing a short jacket. But why did Talmidei Chacham have to be extra tzanua in their dress? L'chora, they're no more erotic than anybody else, so why by them? The answer is that the halacha is that you have to revere a Talmud Chacham, mamish like the Rabbanu Shlom. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Rabbos Talmidei Chacham. That you have to have fear and reverence and respect for a Talmud Chacham, mamish like the Rabbanu Shlom. That's very dangerous. Because if you direct that towards the personality of the Talmud Chacham, it borders on Avodah Zarah. We know there are people who revere their Rebbeim mamish like gods. Right? We don't have to go into detail of which kinds of sects do that, but there are sects, more than one, that look at their Rebbe as mamish like a god. And that's dangerous. Very dangerous. So therefore, a Talmud Chacham has to distract attention from his externals and make the statement, what you have to revere here is not me. It's the Torah that I possess that you can't see. Don't get distracted by what you see. What you see is not the Iker. It's what's beneath the surface that's the Iker. The third thing where tznius is of paramount importance, aside from the Mishkan, and Talmidei Chacham is women. So women, first of all, who feel that they are discriminated against because everybody's so makbid and their tzniyah is more than men, but they're in good company. They're in the company of Talmidei Chachamim and the Mishkan. So I wouldn't mind being in that group either. Okay. So why women? Because for the most part, in the secular world, women are judged on their external attributes. Right, for their external looks. And even in this progressive, liberated world, it's still the same. Right? They still have Miss America pageants and Miss Universe pageants and Miss Israel pageants, and things haven't changed. And even though they will tell you that they've changed the whole surah of these beauty pageants, and they have the women reading poetry that they wrote, or reading what's it called, essays that they wrote and telling about their careers, but they do it all in bathing suits, which has me believe that it's not the poetry or the careers or the essays that are the ikar. So it's still the same world, hasn't changed. And therefore, that's the secular world. From a Torah standpoint, a woman, the major attribute of a woman is not her external appearance. But sheker hachein vehevel hayofi isha yiras Hashem itisalo. It's what she has on the inside. And what's on the inside is basically, by women, is the essence of kedusha of Klal Yisrael. The kedusha Yisrael is by women. How do I know that? Because what determines whether any human being is a Jew with kedusha Yisrael? One factor: his mother. Or unless he's a convert. He's not a convert. There's only one factor you have to check: who his mother was. His father could have been Genghis Khan. If his mother is a plain Poshita Yid, he's Jewish. And his father could have been Moshe Rabbeinu. And if his mother was not Jewish, he's not Jewish. So mothers are Koveya Kedusha Yisrael. Whether you have a Neshama Kedosha of a Yid depends if your mother was Jewish. And up until recently, mothers were women. So therefore, what's it called? The Iker Kedusha of Klal Yisrael depends on women. So in order to distract attention from the externals, which by a woman could be distracting, and think that that's the Iker, a woman has to be extra careful to be Tzanua, to distract attention from her externals, in order to make the statement, there's more here than meets the eye. The ikar of me is not what you can see. And therefore, tznius is not only covering your body, but it's covering it in a way that doesn't attract attention to your externals. Because if you wear the kind of clothing that gives a different kind of message, you cover every part of your body. But you're giving the message that the external is the ikar. And that could be not only dressing in a way that is attracting, right, and alluring. It could also be dressing in a way that is totally, eye-catching, like dressing like an Arab. You could have your whole body covered with a shawl, with a thing, your eyes only out, and people see people walking down like that in the street, are attracted to see what's going on. So that is not tzanua. Even though there are people who think that that is the ikar of tzniyus, and women who don't dress like that are prudes. But that is not in a society where most people don't dress like that. That's not so new. The opposite of what tznius is. And therefore, however, there are portions of the body that are attracting, not attractive, but attracting, which attract attention to the externals. And since we are human beings, it is attracting in such a way that could destroy the whole idea of seeing the inner Kedusha and being completely distracted by the externals. And those are the parts of the body that the Torah and Chazal said have to be covered. But again, that's the beginning of tznius. After that, it has to be covered in such a way that is tasteful, that could be attractive. It just can't be attracting, where you're attracted to the distracted by the externals and forget about the internals. And that's what the word tznius means. It's not to cover the external. It's to protect the internal. the Horaya, there's a perek in Shabbos, Maseches Shabbos, called Hamatzniyah. To make things simple, simplify them, it's not exactly the way it is. The halacha is based like this. Normally, in order to be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, or for any malach on Shabbos, you have to need a shear, you need a certain amount that makes it important. For most things, let's say food things, a kezias is important. Less, if you carry a crumb out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. Carry it out into the public thoroughfare, right? You're not chayiv. You wouldn't be chayiv achatas if you did it b'shogeg. You wouldn't get misa if you did it b'mezid. But you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. Could be derabbanan, could be minatora, whatever. You're not allowed to do it. But you're not. It's not chashiv enough to get punished for it. So you need a kezias of food to be chashiv enough that if you carry that out b'shogeg, you have to bring achatas. The mezid, yeah, you get a death penalty.
It's not a krugeris. It's not a krugeris.
Like okay. Food? Okay. No, Mustamat's a kazayas, I think, yeah?
What is Grugeris?
Grugeris? Yeah? Could be. Yeah. Could be. For Chiv Shabbos? For what's it called? For food. Okay, could be. Okay. It's a little bit more than a kazayas. Okay. Halacha, though, is that what happens if you have a piece of food, a piece of cake that you have left over from your wedding cake? You're saving it as a memento. Keep it in a little box, you know, and every once in a while you open it to remember, you know, your wedding. And it's not a grogeris, right? It's a little piece of food, but you put it away for safekeeping. Then if you take that on Shabbos and carry it, that little piece of food, since to you it's important, you'd be chayiv. So what do you see? That's called hamatzniyah. You put it away for safekeeping. So what do you see? That hamatzniyah is not to hide something away because there's something wrong with it. It's the opposite. It's to hide it away because it's important to you and you want to preserve its importance. That's called hamatzniyah. So tzniyah is where you cover something. You cover your body not because it's cheap, not good. It's because it's important. It's important, though, because it is the cover of your neshama. But if there is no neshama, then you're an animal. So then your body loses importance. So in order to give the body importance, to show it's important, you cover it, put it away for safekeeping, in order to show that there's a neshama. That's why we don't have to cover the bodies of animals. Because what you see is what you get. There is no neshama. So what's to cover? There's nothing wrong with the body. But if I don't cover the body, I'm going to begin to think that's all there is, that I'm an animal. So it totally takes the importance away from the body. So to give importance to the body, I cover the body to make the statement that the ikar here is what the body protects, the neshama, and not the body itself. And then the body becomes important. And the body becomes so important that that after death you have to bury the body because the body was the receptacle for the neshama. And that's really what the whole Torah is. To bring a person from... It says the Torah starts with chesed and ends with chesed. What was the original chesed? That God made clothing for Adam and Chava. And what is the final chesed? That the Rabban Shem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah starts where the body is shameful because it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, so it seems to be like you're an animal. Because if you would do what your neshama wants, then it's obvious that your neshama is the main thing and your body serves your neshama. But Adam and Chava did what was against their neshama with their body. They ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was bad for their neshama. So their bodies functioned like an animal. So God had to cover it. And then, if you cover it, and then you function in a way that shows that the body serves the neshama, you can make your body so holy that God himself has to bury it. Nobody else could bury it. Only the Rabban Shem can deal with that body, even after the neshama leaves. That's what the Torah is from beginning to end. And that's why the clothing is called beged. Comes from the Russian boged, to be a traitor. Because since the body functions against the neshama, that's why we need clothing. Because if the body would function always as a servant of the neshama, it would be clear that the body is just a servant of the neshama, and you wouldn't be distracted by the body and not realize the neshama is the ikar, because it would be obvious. But since that's not obvious, so we have to cover our bodies, in order to, what's it called, to make it clear that the body's not the ikkar, the neshama is the ikkar, even if not always is it clear that the body is merely a tool to protect and serve the neshama. Because the body is a bogey, therefore you need a beged. And that's also called levush, lo busha. Busha is where you function externally in a way that does not fit what you are internally. And that's embarrassment. To be embarrassed is to be inhibited. Not to do whatever comes to mind, because we're not animals. We have to function in a way that's befitting us. So that's busha. Busha is where you're embarrassed or inhibited to do something that's not befitting you. So that also is the levush, is lo busha. It covers the body, so we remember that we can't function just externally any way we want, because we have a neshama that makes how we function befitting us in certain things and certain things not befitting us. So in a nutshell, that is the inyan of tznius, and therefore wherever the body could be distracted in a negative way, that's where you have to cover. So this is part of the inyan of tznius, as preaches is parutz, means to open up just the externals. Everything to do with immodesty has to do with externals, right? Arum, right? Unclothed has the idea of an arema, a big, what's it called, heap, where all you see is the external. You don't know what's inside. Or is skin, is external. Is connected to an iver, a person who can't see the inside of anything. He can just touch and discern the externals. He's an iver. Or in arum, ayin resh vav mem, also means to be sly. You present something externally and you hide your real inner intentions. You're fooling people. How do you fool people? By presenting an external that's not what you really mean inside. Right? You fool them by giving them something that they see which is not really the way that it is. So all of these words, preachus and erva, it's erva also comes from iver, or all external kinds of things. And tznius is where you preserve the importance of the internal spiritual values of the world. Okay, I think next week we'll continue this a little bit more, and then we'll get to what the Mesillas Yesharim says.